Thank you.
I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Tuesday, November 12th, 2019, and has been our tradition for many, many years. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pleased that we had this many folks, considering the unexpected arrival of winter. Councilmember Brittingham can't be here tonight. The first three items under the first agenda item, the A, B, and C, we'll have to postpone the approval for those minutes so that there'll be a quorum here of the actual council members who were in attendance on October 15th. So we'll actually start with 1D, approval of the executive session minutes for October 23rd.
Mayor.
That one was also missing.
Also?
Yeah. Okay. So it'll start with F.
Okay. Well, this is getting a shorter and shorter meeting all the time.
Yeah.
I hope nobody objects. Okay. Executive session of October 28th.
Motion to approve.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the executive session minutes of October 28th. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Let the record show the vote was 4-0. And let's see. Here we go. The reason for, under the Maryland Open Meetings Act, for the executive session was before a contract is awarded or bids are opened to discuss a matter directly related to a negotiating strategy or the contents of a bid or proposal, if public discussion or disclosure would adversely impact the ability of the public body to participate in the competitive bidding or proposal process. Okay, now we are now to the regular session minutes of October 28th.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the regular session meeting minutes. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Now up to item two. This is a memorandum sent to the council late last week recommending one new appointment and several reappointments to our boards and commissions. We generally have to try to have the appointments or reappointments or new appointments done in the spring or the fall, so that just it's not a constant problem in trying to figure out who's on first. So it's been working out for several years, and we're trying to uphold that tradition. The new appointments that I wish to recommend for your approval, for Parks Commission, a new member to the Parks Commission, but not certainly to our town, Laura Stearns, 102 South Main Street, a new person. He's certainly been a member of our community for a few years, but he's new to our boards and commissions, and that's John Apple of 122 Austin Circle. And I see John's with us tonight. Could you stand up and just let everybody see who you are? Yeah, I'm sure many of you know. But John, if you don't mind me telling, is the, I think it's called the Assistant Town Administrator, Town Manager for the town of Bethany Beach. And he has quite an extensive background in understanding how it should work, and he has a lot of interest in and activity here in our town. Next, are for reappointments. For Historic District Commission, I'd like to reappoint all three members who are up for another three-year term. That is Carol Rose, Robert Poley, and Laura Stearns. I know they're all very active and committed to this commission, so happy to make that recommendation. And for the Board of Supervisors of Election, again, I'd like to reappoint John Burdell and Lou Kreider, very experienced and have done an excellent job on the Election Supervisors Board. And finally, for two-year terms, I'd like to recommend the reappointment for the Planning and Zoning Commission of Chris Denning, John Barrett, and as an alternate, David D.J. Lockwood. So if you have any questions or comments, welcome those.
Quick question.
Sure.
Who is Mr. Apple replacing?
Board of Zoning Appeals.
Mr. Parks.
Yes. Mr. Doug Parks asked. He wanted to. He wrote me a letter and said he'd like to actually retire, because he's been on the Board of Zoning Appeals a number of years. And that's another thing I'd say. He's done a great job. We're very fortunate that most of the folks that, regardless of what administrations or what mayor and council, most of them serve multiple terms, and so he's done a very fine job.
I'm glad we're not losing Mr. Moore. Add another zero to your check.
Yeah. He's waiting for some sort of draft.
He's not allowed to leave.
He's on there for life.
No, exactly.
No, but I think, you know, it's interesting that we've got a very experienced member, but we've got someone coming in who has a lot of experience, but will have maybe some fresh ideas as well.
Wonderful.
Cool.
Okay. After no other questions, I'd like to move to accept the mayor's recommendation.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to accept the recommendations for appointments and reappointments to our Berlin boards and commissions. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion passed 4-0. Thank you. Next is item number 3 on our agenda, a motion approving the agreement between the Berlin Heritage Foundation and the Town of Berlin. And briefly, I would just simply say, this is a relationship that the town and the historic district, Berlin Heritage Foundation, has operated under since the early 80s. And it's been, it was discussed, but and I think reflective of the time, it would probably be called now, no sexism implied, but a gentleman's agreement. And it's worked out just fine. And I think there was one minor addition to that has been made, and Dave, if you could explain that briefly.
Yeah, this just the written formalization of the relationship that has been maintained between the town and the foundation since 1982. All it does is just points out the responsibilities that the foundation has undertook since 1982, and
And I would say this again, it is, I think, one of those things where we all realize we all will not be here forever. And I think that we're very proud of the work that the Berlin Heritage Foundation has done. And this way, as we pass the batons in our respective roles, we'll know what the legal arrangement was. But I would expect that the bond, you know, the binding of the mutual trust and setting of and accomplishment of mutual goals, I hope will continue for many generations. Do you have any questions regarding the agreement?
Just one housekeeping thing. Mm-hmm. On page 3 of the agreement, all the way at the bottom of the last sentence, can we please change the city council to the town council?
Okay, yes.
It jumps back and forth.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for a good catch. Yeah. We're not striving to be a city.
No.
But we want to change with the times, but that's not all our goals.
That's
Thank
all
you.
I got.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the agreement with the change as noted by Councilman Gordis?
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Purnell to approve the agreement between the Town of Berlin and the Calvin B. Taylor House Museum. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Good. Thank you very much. Thank you, David.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for everything, too.
Now we have the first reading. We won't be taking any action on this tonight, but it's an introduction to the public for first reading of what I call some amendments or some tweaking of the trash code and bulk pickup code. And Jeff, would you expound it, but what's the difference?
I will, Mayor. What we're doing here, we're proposing, first reading for a change to the solid waste ordinance, the code. And within the changes that we propose, and they're out there for public consumption, the code itself, it's basically housekeeping changes, expanding definitions, some punctuation errors, etc. Nothing really that's exciting, as I call it, within the code that's being changed. However, as a separate and that's the first reading for the change to the ordinance. However, when I say we, staff has felt that we needed to also address the special waste collection policy, specifically bulk pickup, and that has some significant changes. And who I have present in the audience tonight is a guy that pretty much gets involved in bulk pickup on a day in and day out basis. He's the eyes and ears of the town. That's Dave Wheaton from Public Works. And what I asked him to do, this is the most recent bulk pickup. I said, just get some random pictures, random. So I wanted everyone to get an idea of what's happening, what's going on throughout the town with bulk pickup. And as you can see, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and judge and say it's too much, it's not enough. I don't know. But I just know that there's a significant amount of stuff that's being taken out to the curb twice a year with the bulk pickup. And I want to give everyone an idea of where we're at on something. I'm trying to do a comparison from last year, 2018, to where we are now in 2019. In 2018, the town picked up 22.4 tons of items in bulk pickup. And that equated to about $9,500. That $9,500 encompasses tipping fees, labor, and equipment. Okay? In 2019, as of this morning, we're at $18,584 in total expense. Of that, $3,000 in labor, roughly $3,000 in tipping fees, and then roughly $1,800 for the equipment.
Could you repeat that again? Start with tipping fees, because we had $9,500 a year ago.
Okay, we had $9,500 a year ago.
And what was it this
year? And that was the total cost of the bulk pickup.
Oh, okay.
Okay, for 2018. For 2019, let me back up. 2018, total cost was approximately $9,500, and that equated to about 22.4 tons of material. Okay. In 2019, as of this morning, we've accumulated 38 tons of stuff, okay? And to break that down for 2019, we had roughly $3,100 in labor, $2,900 in change in tipping fees, $1,750 for equipment operation, and that's for the fall of this year. So total for the year, spring and fall, the total fees were roughly $18,500.
Double.
That's right. Huh?
You didn't do one already. I mean, there's one still due.
There's been two. Am I correct, Dave?
No.
Two have been done this year.
Talk about calendar year versus fiscal year.
I'm talking calendar year.
I think she's referring to fall bulk. We still have tomorrow.
Right. We're not done yet. That's what I'm, no, we're not done.
Yeah,
we're not finished yet. No, we're not done. And so people don't get it confused. Bulk pickup and yard waste pickup, they're two separate animals. So we're not including that together. And then with the photographs that you can see, Dave, you want to add anything?
The construction part of it gets to be a lot because with the construction, when we go to the landfill, they charge us a demolition fee, which is higher than a regular garbage fee. So the pickup tomorrow, we have a lot of construction materials out already. So that's one of the worst things for us, the construction part.
And then the other thing, we advertised about a year ago, if I remember correctly, we made available down in customer service for a limited time, and that time's still running, but bedding, and specifically bedding, being wrapped before it's picked up. In our surveys of other municipalities on the shore, we're one of the last ones that will pick bedding up that's not wrapped. Hmm. And we're getting to the point we do need to stop that because of health reasons. The bedding sleeves, if you will, are downstairs in customer service. They're free. They're not that expensive if you go to Home Depot or wherever you go. But that's another thing with the 2020 proposal that we want to enforce, is that if it's not wrapped, we're not picking it up. But that's in fairness to the gentlemen and ladies that are out there doing the grunt work. So, and then across the shore, what I did learn from other municipalities, this wasn't just thrown together, I can tell you that. And I'm going to pick on the gentleman in the back in a minute from Bethany, if you don't mind, Mayor. What are you guys doing, Bethany?
We have the same biannual pickup as you guys do. You know, we truck it to the we actually have compactor trucks. They bring it in, and they dump that stuff in the back as long as it'll fit, and they will compact it and then take it to the landfill. Other than that, if it's too big, then they take it. If you have a an extremely large pile, sometimes Public Works will leave that. We have to contact the property owner, and we'll administer a fee to them.
Correct.
Usually a special collection is at least $40. That's the starting price. That would be my recommendation.
Well, I know when staff did their survey, what I learned, it's all over the Richter scale as far as special collection, if you will. So what I've proposed for 2020 is business as usual, if you will, up to three items, no charge, bedding being wrapped, furniture being wrapped. Anything beyond three items, there would be a $25 fee to arrange that, and then $25 additional fee per item. So to make it simple, if you've got four items, the first three are picked up free, no charge. The fourth item is going to cost you $25 for the fee, and then $25 for the item. Absolutely. Go back to the pictures, Kelsey, please. I'm going to share a personal experience. Bottom right picture. That whatever day we went out, was it Tuesday, Dave, last week?
Yep.
All that stuff was just like it is. I went back to that development the following day, and probably a third of that was gone. Okay? But... language that's in the code, and I'll let the chief expand on it, but there is a language in the code about scavenging.
It doesn't say anything in this that you have here about scavenging it's only out of a trash can. It doesn't say anything off the property. That's what I was checking.
Well, I kind of take the interpretation that this stuff sitting outside is an individual home's trash.
We have to stop this growing menace. It's ridiculous. We don't want the scavengers in town anyway. We're being very considerate is being abused. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's no incentive for us to keep, you know, basically looking the other way. So hopefully this will be a step in making people realize you just can't throw, we believe, not in every case, but many cases, they're calling friends and neighbors and relatives, and they're bringing theirs too. It's not. It's
it's grown so much in such a short time, it can't be that suddenly everything's wearing out in all these homes in Berlin. I think we've become a dumping ground.
I don't think so.
Well, that's our belief on this, and we're responsible for doing something about it. And if you're offended by that, I'm sorry. But we're not going to let this town become a trash heap after all the years and years.
They can haul it away.
They can haul it away. They don't want to pay the fee, which is commonplace in just about every other incorporated municipality in this region. And I'm just saying, you know, somebody has to protect the standard of living in this town. There's a quality of life. There's a quality of life here that apparently some people don't recognize or appreciate.
Well, that, I'm that's sorry. Quality of life. That's people getting rid of stuff that is improving their property.
It's not just the people that are there. That's what we're saying. It's become a dumping ground. It's not just the furniture and construction materials. It's just all gotten out of hand.
They shouldn't be picking up the construction materials to start with. That's been listed for as long as I've lived.
I'm going to share with you, I'll let Dave again, because he's the first-hand guy out there. Has construction material gotten worse or better?
It's gotten worse.
Okay. He shared with me today a particular home in town that had multiple windows from a home out on the property.
But then you don't pick them up. I mean, that's what you're saying. That's what you have the code for. Mm-hmm. If you don't punish the whole town for something that one property owner's doing, I mean, send a bill after when they come and pick it up, and then you know that it hasn't been scavenged.
And again, this is open for discussion.
Right.
Okay.
And that's what I'm trying for.
That's all I have.
Okay. And the public hearing is 25th?
The 25th.
Yes. At the next meeting.
Right.
All right. And we'll move on to the... Item 5 on the agenda, which is the proclamation about Municipal Government Works Month.
Yes, sir. Give me just a second. This is something that we do on an annual basis. Mary Boland is usually the reader of this, and her voice is far better than mine. So what she atypically does is, and I'll read it, I'll paraphrase it, Proclamation 2019-14, Proclamation of the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin, Maryland, proclaiming November to be Municipal Government Works Month. The Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin do hereby proclaim November to be Municipal Government Works Month. The Town of Berlin was incorporated in 1868, Maryland is home to 157 municipalities, whereas in an effort to educate citizens about municipal government and the importance of participation, the Town of Berlin is proud to promote municipal government awareness. And during 2019, the Town of Berlin promoted municipal government awareness by hosting or supporting 49 community events, partnering with local businesses to provide free shuttles, collecting 138 tons of recycling, receiving an AARP grant to purchase outdoor tables, awarded $50,000 in facade grant, received a safety award from the American Municipal Power Association, issued 36 certificates of occupancy, replaced sidewalks on Maryland Route 346, Burley Street, Palatine, and Pitt Street, publishing the Berlin Bulletin monthly and welcoming 7 new businesses. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin, Maryland, hereby joins Maryland Municipal League in declaring November to be Municipal Government Works Month in the Town of Berlin.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next, we'll have our departmental reports for the departments that are here. First will be Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The pictures that you're looking at up there on the screen, that is the temporary generator that was brought in for the generator that failed in July, number 2 generator. There's actually four of those units that are installed there at the rear of the power plant next to the substation. Tomorrow, hopefully, if everything goes well, those generators will be ready to go as far as peak shaving. We should be totally completed on the installation of them, which will put us in position for peak shaving in the winter. And then they'll be in place there until the new generator is installed and completed somewhere, possibly in July or August, in that time frame. That was the major project that we have been working on in the past couple of weeks.
And to add to that, Tim shared with me when we were down there when they were delivered, there are four units. They're tied together. And Tim, obviously, it's a toy that's not going to be his, but he's responsible for it while it's there. But he was concerned about the noise.
Yep.
And so you want to expound on that?
Yeah, as far as the noise of the engines, they're Tier 4 rated as far as emissions and sound. Basically, when you shut the door on them, when they're running, they sound about as... do you know what a Honda generator is? A small, quiet-run Honda? That's what they sound like. It's just like a hum. That's all you hear. Those generators, they'll only be running between the hours of 1 and 6:30 at the most during peak shaving times, which we operate maybe 20 times out of the year during the winter and summer. So they are very quiet, and they're very efficient. There's four of them, and they're parallel together in tandem, and they start by a little toggle switch, and, you know, you just push the switch and they all come on at one time. It's a pretty neat setup. If you get a chance to go down there and take a look at it, it'd be something to see.
And, when you say 1, do you mean 1 a.m.?
No, 1 p.m.
1 p.m. Okay. I didn't know. I mean, we were talking about noise and I didn't know.
No, we never run at that time of morning. It's about 1 p.m. Normally the hours are 2 to 6, but sometimes they'll change from like 1 to 6:15. Somewhere in there, but it's always in the evenings. Okay. That's the big project that we've been working on, and then we had a few other things. We've been working on the Christmas lights, installing them throughout the downtown area. We actually went to, one of our employees went to Denton today to inspect the Christmas tree, and we're scheduled to pick that up the week of November 20th, and then we'll be setting it over at the Atlantic Hotel. Thank you.
Anyone have any questions for Tim? All right. Next is Chief Honor Dowling.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to first say that Halloween was a great success. We had a chance to speak to Kurt Burbage, and he believes he had over 1,000 people go through his actual facility. And, again, any time that we can have law enforcement partners come in and help us and everyone leaves safe, we're very pleased and happy. So we thank everyone for the assistance and help with Halloween this year. As you can see, myself and Tim, we are actually up there representing No Shave November to make awareness to men's health and prostate cancer. So, again, if you see our guys and you see a little scruff, that's what you're looking at, and that's the reason why. We will be actually doing a testing for the next academy on Saturday, and hopefully we'll have a selection for the academy coming in January out of this actual testing process. And we did have an opportunity to complete the annual community policing report, and hopefully you all had opportunity to go ahead and review that. That's my report for this evening.
Does anyone have any questions?
I want to add to Arnold's report. We've onboarded two new dispatchers, one full-time dispatcher and one part-time dispatcher.
So we have no more vacancies on the dispatcher side?
I think we have still a vacancy for a part-timer.
Part-timer, okay. Thank you. That's good.
The only thing I have, during Halloween, I got to see the motorcycle that we acquired in action. And, I mean, it works really, really well getting through the crowds, and I think they were assisting one of the ambulances with a call that they had on Grace Street.
Getting in and out.
Yep. So it worked out very well.
And I would have, again, speak to the military surplus program, and Merle Bragg is definitely in charge of that for our agency in procuring items. And again, a lot of times agencies get a bad rap for military-style equipment and how they're being used. And again, the Humvee, the 5-ton, and the motorcycle themselves, all of them actually have been a positive for our community. Actually, you know, during rain events, we can either talk to Dave, actually, fire truck getting damaged, police vehicles getting damaged, and we have opportunity to go ahead and use those equipments in a positive way. So again, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Anyone has any other questions or comments regarding the police department? All right, last is Planning Director Dave Engel.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just wanted to mention tomorrow evening the Planning Commission will meet at 5:30 in this same room, and they'll be receiving a presentation from the new owners of the Wolf Terrace complex out on Maple Avenue. They're going to redevelop the property. The existing apartments there, there's 31, will be renovated completely in and out, interior and exterior. And if you're familiar with the complex, there's a large grass area out in front. The square footage of that area would allow for 34 more apartment units to be built. The new owner, Ingerman LLC, that's their plan. They would rename the complex the Willows at Berlin. So they will be bringing the Planning Commission a concept plan to review. This isn't site plan review yet. They get the feedback from the Planning Commission, and at a subsequent meeting, they would get site plan approval once all the engineering, the stormwater, any of the questions or requirements of the Planning Commission are worked out. They will also be meeting with us, the staff. We usually have our weekly development technical review meeting when someone wants to do a project. We bring them in, and everybody gets to pick their brain and tell them what they need. Like Dave gets to tell them what Public Works need, and Dave and Jeff. And Tim gets to tell them what he needs, and Jamie and Marvin get to tell them what they need for wastewater and water. So they'll be joining us Thursday for that, right after Wednesday's meeting. Next month, the Planning Commission, we have received a request for annexation, another annexation, and this is for the property that's the old McDonald's out by Stephen Decatur High School on Route 50, and the Myers Tool Rental property. The Harley-Davidson property is already in town, so those next two moving east on 50, they are contiguous, so they can be annexed. Mr. Fleetwood and I received a petition from the property owners, which happens to be Royal Farms, and at this point, I believe their intention is to develop the McDonald's property as a AutoZone store. But this would be the first step that they would move to for annexation. We have to advertise for that December 11th meeting of the Planning Commission. They make a recommendation. Then I have to publicly advertise for a public hearing of your body at a later date. Mr. Fleetwood and I are working on that calendar. I would think it's going to be one of the January meetings at earliest that recommendation would come before you.
Any question for Dave?
Yes. The renovation of Wolf Terrace, after it's done, will the number of units be the same?
Yes.
And the new development.
Yes.
How many units will that add?
34 more units. And there's 31 there now. And the new development also will have a new community building, community center, like their offices and a community room, a gathering room.
Now, this is something you might not know now, but I would like to know, how many vacancies in subsidized housing in the town of Berlin exist today?
How many vacancies exist?
Yes.
You're right, I don't know today.
Can I add also the total number of units that are available?
Thanks, Dave. That's all I had.
Mm-hmm.
And real quick, Mayor, before you move on, Dave, you want to comment on the what's on the screen?
Yay. It took a long while to get there.
That's what I thought.
Definitely. You know, we end up doing a lot of the work for the property owner on this one to push it over the goal line. That's all I'll say. But I'm glad that we accomplished it, and one less substandard house that, you know, needs to be torn down or fixed up. So.
And you can't tell from this angle of the picture, but it's directly across from the multi-purpose building and the shore-up classrooms.
Right, that's right. It's I know that the intention was, once the building was gone, I believe that lot will be up for sale, so another home can go on it, and a new home, was, you know, good for that spot and close to the park. We know those the apartments just down the street next to the park on the other side to Henry Park. They're going to get all redone and a new building done there. That's coming up in the future. So that just that whole streetscape will be improved.
Thank you. All righty.
I do. I have a few things. Natalie Soleil is out ill, and she asked me to convey to everyone that PKS will be here on the 25th of November to present to you their FY19 audit report. Okay, so that happened on the 25th. And then there's two things that Natalie and I will be working on between now and the closeout of FY20, and that is two specific policies. One is a formalized reserve policy that will be presented to you folks, and then another will be an internal control policy.
And that will be presented on the 25th as well?
No, sir. That will not. We've slated that to work on that between now and the closeout of the current FY. So it won't be presented until sometime in the summer.
In the summer?
Yeah, at the latest.
But possibly during the spring while we're doing all the other budget.
Yes, sir.
Work.
That's my internal goal.
Okay, good for that. That would be ideal if we could do that.
Yep. I do want to share with everyone, because we bounced it around a little bit. We did finalize the employee holiday luncheon. Will take place on the Friday the 13th of December. I got a strange look from Mr. Gaskell. It will be from 11:30 until 2. It will be in this facility here, and all are invited. Okay. And that's all I have.
Okay.
Oh, I do want to talk real quick. I'm sorry, I missed it myself. A week ago Friday, we had a fairly significant windstorm that came through the town. I know Dave Wheaton would echo those comments as well. Our impression the story goes as follows. At about 6:40 that Friday morning, Dave calls me and says, "What are you doing?" I said, "What do you need?" He said, "I think you better come down to the park and take a look at this fence." Well, I had no inkling at all what I was going to see that you see in that bottom left-hand picture. Not only is it gone, but it's gone. Okay? And then sliding over to the right, that's one of the structures that's down at Heron Park. It actually, that building has a garage door, if you will, on both ends. It blew the doors to the center of the building. Inside that building are snow plows, heavy snow plows. It actually moved the plows. And then it tore the roof off the building. So we're in the process now of trying to find an economical way of fixing that building. But you can see throughout the town, again, my impression that day when we rode around from the north or from the southwest corner of town, pretty much to the left side of AGH, if you're facing AGH from the town, it was just maybe 100-foot wide. I don't know what to call it, but it went through the entire sector of the town and took everything in its path. The good news is there was from what I saw, no homes lost roofs, no homes were blown away, but there was significant tree damage. And then the top left picture there, you can see over at Atkins Company, they did a good job on their storage building as well. Anything to add to that, Dave? Anything to add? Okay. And that's all my report, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question.
Sure.
I believe if my memory serves me correctly, we should be approaching the calculation of our average daily flow for EDUs, if we could also get that report when it's submitted. I believe it's done annually. And then there's a four-year average that's presented. It's either December or January.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have any comments. Do you have any?
No, sir.
I have nothing.
I don't have a
question. Gene Holloway was doing a sewer study for us.
Yes. I talked to Jamie about that about a week ago. He said that she is just in the very infant stages of that right now. Okay. He said the very infant stages. He's still giving her information.
Now, is it our expectation that that's something we'll be getting feedback on before we get head over heels into the new budget?
That's what the plan is, yes, sir. They have that in place, an idea, worst case.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. Do we have any comments or questions from anyone in attendance tonight? Okay. Do we have any comments or questions from the press?
Move to adjourn.
We stand adjourned. Thank you.
That's a new record, Gene.
Because Roy's not here.